Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
And I think it's gonna be a fucked up club. Wrong and telling tales of so much love. It's not the kind of club they have at home. Oh, no, no, no. It's a crime club. Crime club. Crime club with a wrong and telling fucked up tales. Crime club. Crime club with a wrong and telling fucked up tales.
All right, babe, Series 4 finale underway as of now, but it doesn't end here. I'm sure most of you know by now, but fuck it, I'm saying it again. The Chronicles of Tarquin Volume 4 are dropping on the 1st of February. That's 3 weeks' time. Make sure you're signed up on Patreon if you want to hear that. I'll explain more detail at the end of the episode, but the link's in the description now. Here's Rickshaw Seamus with the final flourishes of his portrait. We talk Vegas, fighting and football. But first, of course, a cheeky Martin Pringle.
This guy was fucking known all over the world for fucking scamming fucking casinos and everything. He's in that book of people who scam fucking casinos.
Oh, yeah.
Just scam millions of pounds, man. I was only with him fucking last week, man. He's a good man for stories, that fella. But he used to scam the Hippodrome casino, man. He walked out with like 70 grand with the fucking
How's he do that?
Because he's a fucking... He's nearly like a magician, nearly. The way he's so fast, man.
He's fast at what?
He's so fast he can beat the camera.
At what?
Like roulette.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Oh, what is it, like putting chips down on the thing?
Yeah, and switching them over and shit and fucking moving them.
Oh,
bang,
shit.
Bang, and then working as a team, just like blackjack.
Oh, so you'd have someone distracting the geezer.
Yeah, you have one. You have six people working in the group, you know? So everyone's doing something different, you know? Distracting, putting on a late bet. That kind of shit, you know. Even with like blackjack, like if you're able to count cards, like every time when I play blackjack, I always sit on the other end of the table, so I see all the cards come out. So then you can actually see, you can count them a bit better. But it's a bit hard if you're doing it by yourself. But you can do some counting, you know. But these guys used to travel all around the world, man. They've been in jail in different parts of the world, in casinos and shit. Some countries they said were easier than others to scam.
How'd you know this guy?
Through another friend of mine. I know him fucking a couple of years, man. I was trying to get on the team, and he fucking...
On the six-man team?
Yeah, and he wanted me to cut my beard off. And I was like, no, man, because I'm doing my acting at the moment for the Viking. I says, I can't really cut my beard off. If he does it up again, yeah, soon. But he has to, like, change everything. His teeth, change the face, everything.
But he gets in disguises and shit.
Everything, man. Because the casinos know him, you see. He's in the book. There's a book of all the scam artists of casinos, and his name is in the book. It's a Spanish fucking name.
Did you say he got caught, though?
He's been caught a few times, but the thing is, he's probably smoked 2 or 3 million pounds in crack.
Fucking hell, really?
Yeah.
2 or 3 million quid in crack?
Yeah.
That's mad. Is he still on it?
Oh, yeah. Every day.
Yeah.
He can't live without it.
Yeah.
He can't live without it.
Does he look like a crackhead, though?
Kind of, yeah, he would.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how blatantly is he a crackhead?
10. If it was 20, I put 20 on him.
So he looks like a certified cracker. All right, fair enough.
He owns apartments. Like, he's not homeless.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not homeless or anything like that. He's just fucking...
Well, that's why I was thinking he could probably pass as a high-functioning crackhead then, without looking like... But if you're saying 10, maybe he's not passing.
Yeah, small guy, you know, not fucking big at all.
I suppose we shouldn't really be describing his physical appearances. But yeah. It's a shame, though, because it is quite funny. I'm finding it funny.
Yeah.
But I think for his sake, and for your sake, best to probably move on. but you reckon he's nicked about a couple of... More than that in fucking
Minions,
cash.
Yeah. In casinos all over the world. Yeah, it's certain casinos he can't go into because they know him. They scan him. They do the eye scan now, you see.
Okay.
They can do that as well. The way he can do it, man, it's fucking unreal. He's been, like, everywhere, man. Fucking casinos in Asia, Bahamas. We were talking about Bahamas when I was in Bahamas, and he was in Bahamas. We were talking about the story about the Atlantis out in fucking... it's a real fancy fucking place. Like, huge, massive fucking... It's like a wee little island in itself on an island, you know? It's mad. Where they have, like, big tanks with sharks in it and fucking tuna swimming through it and everything. Sick fucking... Got a casino hotel, like... We were talking about he scammed money. It's funny if I scammed them too. I scammed them out of free food. So I was with this Polish lad. And we went in to get free food. And it's like a buffet. And we fucking get the food, man. Sit down, eat the food. That's where you fuck up. It's when you ask for a soda. You get a glass of water in your thing there. Because the waiter's like, oh, what's, you know, you want a beer? What's your hotel number? Ah, it's 115. Something like that, 276 or whatever the fuck you make up your head. You're like, oh, fuck, we don't have honors. And then the Polish guy, he fucking left. I was like, ah, fuck. So then I was able to leave then because it was mad busy. So we did a runner on the fucking Atlantis.
Carry on my wayward club.
I've broken like a couple of knuckles here on my hand, so each one has like a different story. So this one, I broke off a Romanian gypsy. I went over for the European Football Championships in 2016, France, and Ireland was playing Sweden the first game. That was in the second game, Belgium. Third game was Italy, and we drew with Sweden, lost to Belgium 3-0, and Italy was the last game we had to win, beat fucking Italy 1-0. So it's always nice to put one over the Italians. So anyway, the first game, which was a Sweden game, it was so hard to get tickets, man. I had tickets anyway. Fuck, I had a spare one, so that was staying in the hostel on the fucking rip, fucking drinking, man, sniffing coke, fucking the whole lot, man. Just fucking having a good time. It was a draw with Ireland, 1-1. So I was drinking on the streets, man. Went to an after-hours bar. Then, like, around fucking 6:30, I'm like, ah, fuck this. I'm going to go back to my hostel, man. Fucking get some sleep. So I'm on the fucking train going back, and now I had a mohawk on me, right? It was green, white and gold fucking mohawk, man, right? Sick fucking mohawk. I have an Irish flag on me. I didn't have the beard on me at the time, and I'm there sitting, right? I'm kind of like fucking dozing off. I had a pair of shorts on me and my wallet was inside the shorts, but it was like twisted in, and I had my fucking passport there too. Next minute, I felt this little fucking tug. This cunt was trying to fucking pickpocket me, man. Remaining, I fucking got up, man. I started fucking hammering him, man.
How old was he?
Probably in his 30s, I'd say, 40s, man. And I started fucking hammering him, man. Like, boxing the fucking head off him, man. And he managed to fucking take it out. And then I started boxing him, man, right? And I was hitting him. And people were screaming on the fucking train and shit. It was like fucking, you know, rush hour morning, people going to fucking work. And I'm fucking hammering the fuck out of this fucking Romanian fucker. I was grabbing him, punching him. He had one of these like bony heads. And the last fucking punch I gave it to him, man, right? I fucking broke the knuckle over his fucking head. The next minute, people jumped at me then and fucking, because I was hitting them so bad. There was blood coming out. I was fucking here and everything. And then stopped the train. The police fucking ran on, fucking arrested me, man. Fucking, I'm like, what the fuck, man? This fucking pickpocket me, took my wallet, la la la, everything. And then they fucking seen on camera him trying to fucking pickpocket me. And then you've seen me thumping the fucking shit out of on camera. By this stage, I knew my hand was fucked. I knew it was broken because I'd broken the other two knuckles before. And I was like, ah, fuck, man, this is fucked. I just knew it was fucked. But I'm in handcuffs now. Fuck, someone doing balloons over here? It sounds like balloons. So I knew my hand was fucked. Fucking rested me, brought me down to the station. Fucking, and then they're like, okay, you can go. I said, oh, yeah, thanks, man. Fucking, I had to go straight to the hospital. Fucking,
which city was this in again, by
Paris, man.
Paris, fucking hell.
Paris, on the train, man. I had to go to the hospital, man. Fucking hand was fucked in a cast. I said, there are two more football games to go to. I actually went to three because we qualified. Because when we bet Italy, we got out of the group.
Did you play in the
France.
Fuck.
Fuckers.
I've forgotten that. Did they trounce you? I can't remember.
No, no, 2-1.
2-1?
Yeah.
What, 2016?
Yeah.
Fuck. I was out there for Marseille.
Right.
England versus Russia. Four carloads of us drove down. Obviously, draw the match, and we come out, and it's all kicking off. We weren't knocking about the port before the game, but that's where it was all kicking off before. Mm. But we got tear gassed afterwards, and yeah, it was fucking nuts, basically. And then we went to fucking Sonar in Barcelona to see New Order, and then went up to Lyon to see us fucking draw 0-0 with Slovakia. Mm. Ireland always have much more exciting fucking tournaments, though, don't they?
Yeah, we do, man. We always get out of our group as well.
You always fucking win at least one game.
I remember, like, my hand being in the fucking cast, bro, right? I remember fucking this fella, he wanted to take a picture of my haircut, my mohawk. And he goes, what happened to your hand? Tell him the story, fucking Romanian guy busted me, whatever, got my wallet back. Wasn't he a news reporter for the fucking Irish Star?
Oh,
and he put
shit.
Me on the fucking newspaper, my hand in the cast and everything.
Is that article still online?
Oh, you know where it could be. Yeah, yeah, you could see that. You could get it online. Yeah, you see it, man. My hand in the fucking cast and everything, man.
I'll have a look. I want to see that movie.
And me with the mohawk. Yeah, bro. Yeah.
Crime. Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to All Rather Mysterious, the podcast that aims to unlock the mysteries of the past with the key of fact. My name is John Rain.
My name is Eleanor Morton.
My name is David Reed.
Please join us as we present to you mysteries that have baffled the world.
You add any noises?
What about a door creaking?
No, you don't have to do it.
That weird kadoonk that lights going off makes for some reason in films.
All Rather Mysterious.
It's Crime Club, you're fucking back to front.
When I broke this knuckle and had a fight with these English lads in Australia, that was the Rugby World Cup and we fucking realised we weren't getting in, and they weren't getting in, so we started fucking fighting outside the club, rattling each other, man.
Outside the club, you say?
Yeah, outside the club, yeah. Fucking fire.
Which city was that?
Sydney, Australia. Yeah, that's where I broke this one. Yeah.
Is there another knuckle that you've broke somewhere?
Yeah, this one. Yeah, so this one.
Yeah, what was the story behind them?
That was just from amateur boxing.
What was the amateur boxing world like? How long were you in it?
About 10 years. 10 to 12 years, yeah.
Was this in the States?
No, in Ireland. In Ireland, and I got to the fucking All-Ireland quarterfinals.
So quarterfinals of Ireland's amateur boxing?
Yeah.
Fucking hell, all
heavyweight.
Right.
It was heavyweight, man. It was like, when I was 17, I was like 14 stone. It was like big. I remember one time they put two heavyweights in a fucking in a kiddies ring, me and this other guy.
What's in the kiddies ring?
You know, a kid boxing ring, much smaller than an actual big
ring.
Oh, a
kiddies ring.
Yeah, kiddies
ring. Oh, I thought you
said Achilles. No. Kids ring.
Yeah.
So we just batted the fuck out of each other, man. Headbutts going in, man. Fucking all sorts of dirty punches, man. But I remember the ring broke in the third round, before the third round started. The ring fucking broke the bottom of it. So I wound up coming out winning like 11-10. And won like with 1 point.
What's it like the day after a fight? How hard is your face ache, basically? I mean, I've been beaten up before, but a proper actual bout when you're standing up there and taking them for an extended period of time, does it ache a lot more than just get beaten up?
Yeah, true. Well, like this lip here, I had this one busted when I got jumped by like fucking 7-8 dudes, man. But then I wound up getting them back later on that fucking night, which was like a great revenge. Sweet as fucking sweet. It turned out I was coming out of a nightclub and my two friends were there, and this guy was like, yeah, I'll fucking take on anyone, I'll fucking beat anyone. I said, alright, I'll fight you. So I'm fighting him anyway, I'm fucking kicking his arse. My two friends are laughing, yeah, what are you saying now? It's just me and him. Next minute all these fucking lads came out, man, saw me kicking his bang, boom, fucking busted, man. Got the shit fucking kicked out of me. Got back up, my lip was all busted. Went down the town looking for my friends. They're all in the fucking shipper. Seven of us fucking hide into the fucking car, and then the others then headed up towards the club, and we caught them then on the fucking rebound, man. That was a great feeling. It was like shooting the load, having sex. It was like really fucking satisfactory, revenge, sweet. I had to get 6 stitches in my fucking lip, and the next night then I had my 21st birthday. And I was telling my man, yeah, I have a bit of a black eye and I had to get stitches. Ah, don't worry, put a bit of makeup on it so it'd be sound. I says, no. So I'm drinking the one side of my fucking mouth on my 21st birthday. I had stitches here.
2015 New Year's Eve, I had me and a couple of mates turned up to a house party with a load of black eyes because we'd had a fucking ruck. I think it was the one outside, I was telling you earlier about outside Roxy's.
Mm.
A couple of black eyes knocking about.
Well, she'd known I had black eyes before. She didn't think it was, you know, but when I had the fucking 6 stitches, and then I had to tell her, someone bottled me in the face. I didn't tell her about the whole story with the riot and the lads, and I got jumped. This guy fucking bottled us. I was like, man, I had to get all fucking sticking out like this, bro. Like,
well, this tooth, you see, this tooth is fake because it got knocked out when I was about 10 when I fell on the floor.
Yeah.
But then, so it was a dead tooth that was kind of discoloured. But then at uni, it got knocked out by some fucking little local teens.
Right.
And I had to get a fake tooth that I could take in and out. So for a couple of years after, during and before uni, I had a fake tooth that I could take in and out. And yeah, I was outside a club. I was walking to a club, and I had some wine that I'd been given by someone as a birthday present. And I put it in a plastic bottle and I hid it in the bush outside the club. I was like, fuck it, I'll drink it on my own. I haven't finished it now. Leave the club, go to pick it up, just get started getting abused by these local little youths. So I was saying, you fucking tramp and stuff. I was like, come on then. And then they ran up, the biggest one just ran up and knocked me out.
I've had like a few fucking knife attacks as well. Like,
oh shit, go on.
Yeah, I've been stabbed in my back.
Why?
Fucking some Puerto Ricans in fucking New York.
Why'd they do that?
Just fucking had a row with the man outside a fucking another club, man, over on the west side, a club called the Twilo. And I was up with a few of my Irish buddies, man. And we fucking just hammered them, bro. But I felt this fucking thud on my back. like a thump. But I didn't take any notice of it, man. You get into the nightclub, I'm off my head in ecstasy. Coming up on my third pill, probably. Fourth, who knows, at that stage. I'm in the club, and someone goes, "Hey, man, there's fucking blood on your fucking back of your shirt." I said, "Ah." Fuck, man, I didn't take any notice. Went to the fucking bathroom, man. I was like, "What the fuck, man? It's like a fucking hole in me fucking back, dude." I was like, "What
the fuck?" How big
was
the knife?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I was stabbed the back. The fuck? I couldn't even tell you. I probably like a couple inches, man.
Yeah.
But it missed my fucking spine, bro. Missed my spine. So shit. I still have it like right fucking here. But I didn't even know, man. I had to go to the hospital, man. Fucking off my head in ecstasy. Fucking shite, man. I'm stabbing the fucking back.
Mate, I'd ask to see the scar if it was 9 p.m. in the park.
It's a bit gay.
Crime club. Crime club. Crime club.
What's the other knife is that? Yeah, you had a couple.
One in my neck as well. Right here on my neck.
Fuck it, hell.
Yeah.
Who did that?
Scottish bloke. Yeah, started blaming me that I stole his fucking ecstasy tablets. I never stole his ecstasy tablets.
Where was that?
In Dublin. That was my first knife attack.
So where was the other one, sir? I think you said, but I forgot.
New York.
Oh, yeah, New York, yeah. You said, talking about ecstasy and stuff. Were you big in the kind of rave? Did you go to a fair few raves in your day then?
Oh, yeah. I used to do the raves, man. Yeah, I used to do the raves. Used to fucking sell pills at raves and shit, and used to like control, you know, if it's like my town or something like that, you know, I'd have fellas working for me that sell pills for me, you know.
Where was this, mainly?
In Ireland. And then fucking, you just pick up the money then from the fellas then, you know, you wouldn't hold the pills, just pick up the money. Just hold the money and they just sell the pills. So it used to be all right, but we used to have like some good raves in our town, some good DJs. No fucking club there left in there. So all that scene is gone. But yeah, we used to do that, man. Get fucking 1,000 pills, 2,000 pills, whatever you get.
How much did that cargo set you back?
Back then, we were getting them for like fucking £2. So it cost me like, say, 2,000 for 1,000, which is a lot because you get it for cheaper now. Like, you get it for like 50p.
Mm.
You know, but we used to sell them for like 10, 15, 20, you know. So if you wanted, like, let's say if someone wanted like 100 pills, sell them for like 600-700. So you're making 500 on just on 100 pills.
Yeah.
You know, then you don't have to deal with that. When you had the raves, then, you know, there were people coming into town, then you'd be selling them, you know.
Did you ever dabble in selling drugs outside of Ireland, like any time in the States, or was it?
Well, I did with the weed, alright, yeah.
And smuggling the weed, yeah. Any other weed, instances not of large scale drug movement?
Just mostly just fucking weed, man. Just weed. I should just dabble in the pills over there much, but they were so expensive over there.
Yeah, in the States.
Yeah, you're paying $20 a pill. Like, it's fucking crazy.
Did you ever meet any people on meth, crystal meth?
I did. Well, meth one time for my 30th birthday.
Yeah, what was that like?
Fucking mad. We didn't know what to do. Like, it was like crystals kind of thing. They were like fucking crushing it up. Like, we didn't know how many lines to do. We were doing small ones. We were like fucking like out of it, man. Then I started playing fucking blackjack. And I was doing all right, man. I had a couple hundred fucking dollars on me. Next time, my friend comes on. "Come on, man, we gotta go. I said, "What's up, man? We gotta go. Come on, leave the table." I was like, "All right, get my chips, leave the table, go up." What the fuck's my friend want? Fucking, he's bursting for a piss, right? Couldn't fucking wait. We get up to the fucking fourth floor. He has to piss in the corridor in the hotel in the fucking Tropicana in Vegas. Get in anyway. I said, "Man, what the fuck you want, man?" I said, "I was winning money." He's like, "What the fuck you want?" Boom, throws out like an ounce of coke. For the birthday, man, we all have chipped in like fucking six of us, like fucking what was it, 125 each or something like that. We got an ounce of coke. We couldn't even finish it, man. We had like, I think between the six of us, I think we did about maybe 12 grams. We couldn't even finish it, man. Is that good? That strong? I mean, why even bother? I said, "Yeah, for my birthday, I said I'd get an ounce of coke for my 30th birthday." I've been out to Vegas 5 times. I've been out there for a Conor McGregor fight, which is fucking amazing.
Oh yeah, against who?
Against fucking Aldo, bro. 13 seconds.
Shit.
Shit, I'm knocking down.
So. What happened that night?
Well, it was like St. Patrick's Day out there, man. It was about 10,000-12,000 Irish out there. It went fucking nuts, man. Party full fucking on out in the streets, man, with the Irish flags over cars and fucking Ah, there's people fucking meshed up. Good fucking laugh. I was living in New York. Cost me $1,500 for the ticket, the flight, and two nights hotel in Vegas. And it was over that fast that my friend, who came from Australia, missed it. He was doing coke in the bathroom.
Oh, what a cut.
I've been in Vegas for a bachelor party. That was the first time. I was best man for a wedding there. A friend of mine got married to this Jewish girl who's divorced now from her. But she got married in the same one as fucking Britney Spears got married in. That fucking kind of shite.
Sick.
Dude, they're so lazy, you can actually like drive in and get married. Like, you can actually have your girl fucking blow you at the same time as you're getting married. Like, they don't give a flying fuck in Vegas.
That's ridiculous.
And then the last time I was out there, it would have been Mayweather and Pacquiao when they fought.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. How'd you get a ticket to that?
We didn't. Oh, we were just out there when it was happening.
No, what?
Yeah. It was too expensive anyway, man. You're talking fucking a lot of money, you know. You'd have a good time. $1,000 sit all the way up on the fucking top. Mm. You're taking the piss, man. Fuck that. That was a big hyped up fight.
How easy was it to get that ounce of coke?
Just who you know. Fucking who you know. My friend who used to live out there, but his friend, another friend who was living out there, had got it for us, you know. So it was some fucking nice coke, man. Fuck's sake. We're doing like maps of Ireland and shit, just like going around fucking around with it.
Then we
bring whores into the room and they're like, "You guys cop?" We're like, "No, we're not." Flashing a fucking ounce of coke in front of them.
And you were like banging hookers in the same room kind of thing at that point.
Well, some of them, we were just like calling them. They come in, man. We're like, "All right, we're fucking you guys," and just like leave. And we call up more, and then more come in. So we were just like taking the piss, man. They're all like coming in, like, you know what I mean? We're sending them back out again, like, just funny, yeah. Because this is like, this it's advertised, man. There's like fucking girls calls. It's everywhere there.
I've never been, but I guess you get some probably quite sanitized tours from little blokes working at the hotel. Mm-hmm. My question is, how easy is it to see all of the fucking debauchery and drug taking and hookers out there? Is it blatant? If you're walking around with your kid, would you see it?
Well, you definitely see the girls at night time. They have the things that drive around that advertise. So you definitely would see it, yeah, with the kids, all right, yeah.
Do you see many kids there? Do people take their kids to Vegas?
Yeah, they would, yeah.
Actually, I just kind of find it quite funny, just the idea of loads of brass knocking about in front of kids.
If anyone is planning a trip to Vegas and wants to get hold of Seamus' Yayo connection, do get in touch, crimeclubpodcast@gmail.com or tweet @crimeclubpod. Big thanks to Seamus as well, by the way. I expect we'll be hearing more from him in the future. He's just one of those guys. He's got mad stories for days, and I know there's more to squeeze out. Watch this space. Now, on the 1st of February, in 3 weeks' time, The Chronicles of Tarquin Volume 4 will be dropping on Patreon. It will cost you £3 if you want to listen to it. I'm spitting the cash with Tarquin. It's going to be extra long and extra tasty. There's no monthly payments, literally just £3 and it's yours. Then there'll be one bonus episode at the end of each future series. Then and only then will you be charged basically £6 a year. Because as much as I'd like to churn out more, I think I'm only ever going to be able to do 2 series a year or thereabouts. The link is in the description, Crime Club's back door. Get involved by February 1st to get access to my sweet Crime Club affiliate. Series 5, who knows? I've got about 30 names on the shortlist. It's just a case of pinning people down. Could be 3 months, could be 6. I don't know, but it will happen. All the very best from me, the Great Big Al Massive and Ed Beaumont with the Jinglays, AKAs that didn't make the cut this series, include the boy with the Alan Partridge tattoo, Nathan Barley of Disorganised Crime, the desperate man's Burt Reynolds, Poncy Nonsense, and the drug dealer formerly known as Ian. Bonjour.
A club full of crime. A club full of song. Wrongins do things that are wrong. Oh God, for shame, I do not know this podcast name. Its name is Crime Club.
Great Big Owl.com. Hello, my name is Pete Ellison. This is Dave Cribb.
Hello, and we do a podcast called Friends with Friends, as you might have guessed from the music that's playing underneath, which is a sort of lo-fi rendition of the Friends theme tune for rights reasons. We get a different guest on every week on our podcast to talk about their favourite episode of Friends.
And we look through it in excruciating detail. We pick through levels of plot like no one has ever done before.
So if you like Friends or just listening to people talking, which are both valid activities, do look us up on the old podcast apps and that. Friends with Friends, and we're on Twitter at FriendsWF.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.